Second thing I do is singles ministry. I do singles ministry, men's ministry, coordinate men's ministry. Anything we do with recreation, we don't have a big family life center, you know, so I'll plan a few things for the golf tournaments and things like that at our church. And then I don't do ladies ministry, but I'm the staff liaison for ladies ministry. That means if they need something, they call me. And we actually have the New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary Extension that meets at our church on Mondays, and I will do that. So I have lots of hats I wear, but primarily I'm a singles minister. And it's good to be with y'all. I'm from Monroe, Louisiana. If you've ever watched Duck Dynasty before, Monroe is across the river from West Monroe, and that's where all the Duck Dynasty boys live. I'm not from Duck Dynasty because I don't have the full beard. But anyway, they're good guys, though. They go to a good church over there, and a lot of the stuff you see and then talk about, they really do love the Lord. And all the stuff they do on the show, they all make it up, you know. But, but it's good entertainment, right? But anyway, let me pray for y'all. We'll get started. Lord, thank you for each person that's here tonight. I pray for them. I lift them up to you. I thank you, God, that they love you and they love your word, and they're doing Bible studies, and whether they're a director or whether they're a teacher, God, or whether they're an outreach leader, whatever they may be doing, God, I pray that they would just do their best for you. Thank you, Lord, for what you did for us on the cross through Jesus. I pray you teach us tonight. You give us ideas tonight that we could bring back and implement and use in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen. Amen.
Well, all right, do we need to do any calisthenics before? I'm not the college pastor. Y'all all right? Everybody still awake? Okay. Hopefully I won't put you to sleep. But if you have an outline there, if you'll follow along in that, that'll help you. I have some blanks. If you don't get a blank later, I promise I'll give you the answer if you don't get it initially. But anyway, again, it's great to be here with y'all. Tonight we're going to talk about, if you're going to be a leader, what you're doing is you're asking people to follow you if you're a leader. And if you're in this room, probably you lead in some way in life Bible study at your church, right? So is everybody here from this church, or you have some visitors from other churches that are here too? Okay, good. That's good to have everybody here. I'm from another church too. So anyway, this is my first opportunity to be here tonight. I know Don Mutton, and we've gone and done some conferences together, and we do a big a Metro single pastors conference together where we all get to come together to learn ourselves. So I met Don about 7 years ago. What a great guy. What a great ministry y'all have. So I know you appreciate him too. But anyway, we're going to talk about following me. What are 11 key things that you can do that you need to be doing and be competent in to be a great Bible study leader? So some of this stuff is going to sound like a lot of Southern Baptist stuff, but it's stuff that's just basic Sunday school stuff. And it's stuff that we need to know, and a lot of stuff you do know. Somebody once said, a leader, you're not a leader if no one's following you. You're just taking a walk. So if you want to be a leader, people need to be following you. How do you know if you're a leader or not? Somebody respond. How do you know you're a leader? What are ways you can tell that people are following you?
We'll go to you if they have questions or things they need resolved.
Okay.
And hopefully that's relevant.
Yes.
Okay.
Anybody else? Ways that you can tell you're a leader?
When you're walking and people are following right behind you.
Yeah, if you see people following you and you're trying to do what God showed you to do, and people are beginning to catch on and they begin doing that, and you begin having other people follow you and emulate what you're doing because you're following Jesus, then, you know, then you're being the leader God wants you to be. So let's look at some of these ideas. So the idea tonight is taking your leadership Bible study to a whole new level. What are ways you can do that? What are some ways you can build a team that's transformational? In other words, it changes people's lives. How do you tell if you're being successful in your life Bible study group? How do you tell that? I think when life change begins to happen and you see people's lives changing, you know that transformation is taking place. And that's the only way I really think that God really wants us to measure the success of what we're doing, is that we see people's lives changed, right? And numbers are cool because numbers represent people. But people's lives need to be changed. You need to see that, right? What are some key priorities of leadership? So let's look at this. This is actually not my original Bible study. Wayne Poland, who is a senior Sunday school specialist at Lifeway, put a lot of this together. I've added some things to it. So this is his talk tonight. But anyway, here's things that Wayne has for us as we look at some key competencies that we need to have. And this is 11 of them. Let's look at these. You should know these. Number one, to understand the purpose of life Bible study, you have to convey the purpose to the leaders and members. So if you're a leader, you've got to let people know what you believe. In the last group, I asked everybody, do you know what your mission statement of your church is? And a lot of people kind of were scratching their head because they weren't sure. And somebody said, I think it might be the Great Commission. And I don't know what yours is, but I bet it's in there. I bet that's part of it. So everybody needs to know what they're doing, right? What's the goal? So here's what the goal is of Life Bible Study, or old school word, Sunday school. In our church, we call it Life Group. But anyway, number one, if you're filling in blanks, it starts with an E. Help me, guys. E, evangelism. D, what? Discipleship. F, fellowship. Three. Number four, ministry. You want your group to know how to minister. And number five is worship. Those are the five keys of Life Bible Study and should be the keys of a Sunday school at your church. Is that we're doing all these kind of things. A Life Bible Study director or leader, let me ask you this. What do you do in your group? How many of the people in here are directors? Raise your hands. A lot of directors. How many of you are a leader in another way? You lead or you do a Bible study? Okay. So I'm talking to everybody here. So Life Bible Study directors and leaders, they need to understand there's four purposes, okay? There's four purposes of what you're trying to do. And number one is foundational. There needs to be a strategy behind what you're doing. So is there a foundational strategy that you know what you're trying to accomplish and what you're doing? There also needs to be, number two, dual purposes. There's dual purposes. And the idea here is you're trying to reach Christ and you're trying to build on the mission, help people to become mission Christians, to be on mission for Christ. There's churches that I've been to, and they'll have a sign up. I'm trying to remember what church I was at. And when you leave the parking lot, it would say, you're now leaving on mission for Christ. And that's what we should be doing, teaching people to be on mission for Christ. That there's a purpose behind what we're here for. The number one selling book, what? Besides the Bible, the purpose-driven life. People want to know their purpose. So you want to be able to help them with that. Number three, another part of the things we need to understand, purposes, is about open groups. At your church, you have open groups, right? And you have closed groups. I don't know if you have closed groups on Sundays or if they're all open groups. Sometimes churches do different ways. But the open group, what are the characteristics? What's the value of an open group? You need to understand that. An open group, what? Anybody can come to it. It's open. Glad you're here. Come on in. You know, sometimes they can pick and choose which group they can get involved in. Number four, they need to be able to engage in the functions of the church. How do you engage members in the work of the church? So we were trying to help them to find out what their function is. It used to be an old song, conjunction, junction, what's your function? Anyway, what's your function at church? What's your function? What are you trying to do? What are we trying to achieve? Again, so I'll get behind your purpose. Here's the next thing. Lifeway adopted a thing called 3D Sunday School. 3D stands for these things right here. So it's three dimensions. What are the dimensions of Sunday School that Lifeway adopted? Number one is to invite people. So in your Sunday school or your Life Bible Study group, you call yours Life Bible Study, are you inviting people? You need to be able, that needs to be a part of what you do. It's open, right? Come. You know, come one, come all. And you want them to discover their purpose. We talked about that earlier. So discovering your purpose. And number three, and everybody wants to do this, although some people are shy about it, they want to connect. People want to connect with others. So that's the thing a leader needs to understand. You want to invite people, help people discover their purpose, help people to connect. Okay? So what's the second competency needed to becoming a great Bible study leader? Number two, understand how to organize. How do you organize your Life Bible Study? If you're a director, you're responsible for organizing your Bible study. I don't think Don can do everything, right? He probably does a lot of stuff, but he can't do everything. So how do you organize it, or how do you reorganize it? That's something that you need to understand. If you're a leader in that group, you have some responsibilities there, okay? So here's the idea here. Directors and leaders need a monitor to improve their organization. And then when you do that, it becomes effective for growth. You want us to be effective. We don't want to just be doing something. It's like getting in a boat and say, hey, let's all go somewhere. And everybody starts paddling different directions. So to be effective, everybody needs to know which direction you're trying to go in. Okay? And also what happens when that happens is you begin to have, you enhance your teaching. So everybody has, you have effective growth and enhanced teaching. But there's some major organizational issues that Life Bible Study directors need to continually develop. And these are things that I know Don probably deals with a lot of this, but he may help you. You probably have to tell him these things when you need help with this. What's the leader-learner ratio? You know, if you go to elementary school, how many kids can be in a classroom? You only have one teacher, but how many kids? Sometimes they overload them. They have too many kids in a classroom. So you need to think about that. What's the leader and the learner ratio? That's what we're talking about. What's the unit size? What's the optimum size that your group can be to continue to grow? Can you get too big? Can you be too small? Those are things that as a leader, you need to begin to find out what the answers are to some of those things. Growth and for teaching. Also, what group are you targeting? You need to know that. This is a lot of the people in here are doing singles. Some of y'all may not be doing singles, but if you're teaching singles, you already know what your target audience is. So your audience is working with singles. So the age of the individuals in your Bible study group. And also the thing you need to understand is about new units. When do you start a new unit? Really, anything healthy should grow. If things are healthy, you want them to grow, right? So you need to understand that new units, we need to continually reach more people for Christ. Until the whole world knows, right, we keep lifting up Jesus. And what's our purpose to be here anyway, right? To know God and make God known. So that's an important part. All through this little thing, you're going to see some books I've given you, because I don't know everything there is to know, and obviously I don't know everything there is to know, but also I want to give you some books that you can read to help you out. So here's a book that you might want to check out. It's called Activate, An Entirely New Approach on Small Groups. So if you want to check that out and read about it, Nelson Searcy writes that book. It says it's a quick look. It shows you shows that while small groups are popular, much of the time they create more problems than they solve. What are some things that we can do as church leaders to make our small groups be more effective? That's what that book's about. Might be helpful there. Number three, and I'll let you ask questions and stuff later. We'll just kind of go through here. Number three, understand how to plan the work and the life of your Bible study group. And there's some verses that talk about it. So you need to understand, how do you plan the work? Planning is huge. You know, some people say if you don't plan, you plan to fail. Here's what it says in the Bible in Proverbs 15:22. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but many advisors, they succeed. So talk together in your group and make sure that y'all have a plan for what you're doing. And if you're struggling to come up with a plan or you don't really know, then talk to Don. You've got people right that God's given you and trusted you. So make sure you're planning. Another verse that goes along with this idea of planning your work is Proverbs 20:18. It says, finalize plans through counsel. So this idea of seeking wise people to get counsel with is huge in the Bible. It talks about it all through the Bible. There's four different areas for a life Bible study that should include. And here's some things that we need to have in our churches and in your Bible study groups. You got to have vision. What's your vision? What's the vision for your class? What's the vision for your Bible study group? Do you have a vision? Proverbs 28:18 says, where there's no vision, what? The people perish. We don't want anybody dying, right? We want everybody to come and know Christ. So there needs to be some vision in that. There's another verse that goes along with visions out of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 2. Now faith is a reality of what is hoped for and the proof of what is not seen. For it is by our ancestors that we were approved. So we need to understand that faith is huge. We've got to have faith in God, that God can do a work in our lives and that he can do that. So that's another part. Another idea that needs to be a part of our areas of planning is just annual planning. Do y'all do that in your groups? Do you plan annual planning and think about a year out, what's your group going to look like? As a church, y'all probably have long-range planning committees. I don't know if you have committees, you call them teams, whatever. We have at our church, we have a team that gets together and says, what is North Monroe going to look like? And so on. We had a staff retreat recently, and we went up to Arkansas, Little Rock, Arkansas. We viewed a church that was really, you know, hitting it out of the park, doing great things for the Lord. And then we got together and we talked about, hey, what's it going to look like? What's the singles going to look like? If you were, you know, in 5 years, Jay, and I had to start dreaming. And our group was talking, and the next, we have a new guy who's doing assimilation to try to assimilate people into our church. We have people that come to our church, but they fall out the back door because they're not getting plugged into the church. So, Parker, what do you think? What is our church going to look like? And he started dreaming. Guys, we've got to dream, right? So you've got to be willing to dream. You've got to plan. So planning is a big part of what you're doing as a leader. Major components of that planning. Here's some ideas under planning. If you're saying, what do you do? Number one, you think about the vision. So what kind of vision do you have for your group, your Bible study that you're leading? Is there a vision involved? So, and the second part of that is E stands for you've got to be willing to be honest and evaluate. Sometimes that's just like a tough word. If we start evaluating this, they may say something bad and they're going to make everybody mad and we're going to get into a fight or they're going to hurt my feelings. But you've got to be willing to evaluate things if you want them to succeed. So E is evaluate. Evaluate and then also know what the needs are. So evaluation and needs. Number three, what are the priorities that you're, as you do annual planning, what are some things that are important for us to think about? There's always things that are more important than other things. So you've got to decide what the priorities are as you begin making your plans, okay? And then number four, as good as things are, there still needs to be improvement. There's some things that I stands for improvement. So what things need to be improved? So again, you're going to take a really hard look. Sometimes you got to bring in somebody from the outside to look. Do y'all know Chris Watako, who's here doing a group? She's the one that has the big red feather thing in her hair. Real funny. She does singles ministry. She came to our church. She does secret shopper stuff. So she came into our church, and a secret shopper, we wouldn't sell anything, but our church. So she came into our church and said, hey, you know, when I first came in, here's what happened, and here's how people greeted me, and here's how I walked in and held a baby and didn't even go to your church, walked right in the nursery. And she's telling us all these things we need to improve. So we had all kinds of stuff. When Chris left, we had a whole list. People weren't happy with Chris. Some people weren't. But it's probably a good thing because our church is better now because Chris came to our church. Understand? Some things have to be improved. And in your group, things need to be improved sometimes to reach people. Because we can walk in as a visitor and they see things we don't see, right? So think about that improvement. And then what is the plan of action? Number five, as you do planning. What are some action plans? What are some things I'm going to do? We just talked about, we have a plan for the whole year. I'm glad we got that out of the way. Now, okay, what are you going to do now? You don't just do the meeting. We check the meeting off. We don't want to do anything. Plan of action. You got to have a plan of action. Number three, here's another thing that's important as a leader and a director. It is monthly planning team meetings. Are you getting together and planning? Do you get together and plan? And I know people are busy. You know, everybody has 24 hours in a day. But what, you know, how much time are you going to give the Lord to make sure what we're doing is done in an excellent way? You've got to decide that. And if you're the director, you really are the one that probably decides that. Unless Don says you will meet on so-and-so date and he plans it for you. Otherwise, you've got to take initiative there. So monthly planning times. And you have to decide, are you going to meet weekly? Are you going to meet, you know, every other week? How are you going to do your meetings, your team meetings? So those are all things. And this is stuff that we've been talking about in Sunday school forever. How many of you know? We talk about it all the time. And sometimes it doesn't happen. So, but the director is responsible for these kind of things. Here's what he's responsible for. Helping and equipping leaders to lead the Bible study leadership meetings. You're responsible as a director to do that. If you're directing over a group. When y'all have a class, how many people, y'all talk to me a minute. How many people, if you're a director of your class, how many people are on your leadership team? Tell me who they are and what they do.
Well, I'm not a director, but there's like 10. And there's Grow, Gather, Give.
Okay.
And also Koinonia.
Okay.
Like midweek Bible study. And then prayer coordinator, I believe.
Okay.
And a welcome
worship.
Team.
And what else?
A welcome team.
Welcome team.
Yeah. Welcome team, good. Y'all got a lot of folks.
We got prayer coordinators, too.
Yeah. Good.
Outreach. Also. Intramurals.
Oh, yep, intramurals.
So, yeah, so you got lots going on. So, how often are y'all meeting?
Once a month.
Okay. So if you're doing a monthly meeting, good. You need to do that. You know? And it's easy to put that off because he likes to meet. Some people don't like to meet. You know, I like to meet when we need to meet. But guess what? If you're going to do a life group, or we call ours life groups, you do need to meet. So you need to do that. Effective planning for teaching and reaching ministry. That's another thing that the director is responsible for. You want to plan for teaching and reaching ministry. And y'all call y'all's different names, but that's all those ministries. Here's the fourth thing that to be competent to be a great Bible study leader is you have to understand how to enlist and equip leaders in Sunday school or in your life Bible study. So how do you enlist and equip people? And you might have a plan. Here's some ideas of some things that we can do. And I know that right now this is probably one of the things that you're doing to help equip you and to inspire you to serve. Life Bible studies leaders need to understand the needs of your Life Bible study group. What are the needs that your group has? Every group has similar needs, but some groups have special needs. So as a director and a leader in there, you need to understand what are some of the needs, right? The proper step of discovering and enlisting. What are some ways you can discover and enlist leaders that you need? How are you doing that? Do y'all talk? Does somebody have some really good ways that you're doing it? Share them right now. Maybe another group doesn't know that. Let's share some right now. How do you find some of your leaders?
So I think two things that are important is, A, you have to get to know the people. So just saying, hey, let's grab lunch or get a cup of coffee,
yeah,
hear their testimony, you know, ask, have you been discipled before? You know, get to know their background.
Mm-hmm.
And then secondly, our church has a really good tool called Place that you can encourage them to go through that process of discovering their gifts,
good,
their personality, their passions. And that's a starting point for that conversation too.
Okay.
But just find how to sink them into your regular rhythm, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's going to eat, so.
Yeah, yeah. So find a way to connect with them. So you're taking them out, you're going somewhere, and then you're seeing where they are spiritually.
We're in an older group, adult too, they call it. But you know, in our group, because you have it more illness, people in the hospital and things like that. When a teacher has to go down, one of our teachers went down with cancer. She still taught as much as she could, but another teacher came up and stepped up. So when some of them are ill or they've got problems with family and kids and all kind of grandkids and all that, then somebody that comes up and fills in is a good way to get another teacher.
That is. We talked about that really in the last session. I talked about is you need to begin finding people that you can mentor and begin letting them do things that you do and bringing them alongside you, and then you can begin to see and then allow them to teach maybe when somebody's out. And that can help you all these kind of ways. Here's some ideas. Training experiences could include courses. I don't know if y'all have a course or not. There's conferences that people can go to when you're trying to train them. Again, this is like a conference that we're doing right now. Sometimes there's an apprenticeship maybe model that you'd want to use. Somebody's going to be a teacher. Let them sit alongside somebody. They help them prepare lessons. They let them teach. They watch you, then eventually you begin doing some of those same things, an apprenticeship type idea. Observation. You want to begin to observe that person, see what that person's like. So you're always looking. If you have a growing life group or Bible study like y'all have, you want to continually to begin looking. You're always looking for people. So you're observing people and looking and seeing, because you always need more new people to come in. Because especially in the singles area, a lot of times when somebody gets married, they meet somebody and thank the Lord they met at church, right? And they meet and they're out of the group and they're gone somewhere else. Well, who's going to take their spot? So you always have to be looking that way. Mentoring online. You can look at online opportunities for training. Some churches will do an online thing to train people. You know, right now some of the biggest seminaries, they teach more people online than they do in classroom now. So whatever way you can train that person, whether it be online or whatever. Also, you want to view them. You want to watch them. You want to listen. So as you're training people, you got to listen and talk. You got to, you know, reading. All these are ways that you can do training experiences. So you find out which way would work best perhaps for that person that you're trying to reach. And again, you know, talk with whoever is your supervisor person, whether it be Don or whatever, and say, hey, we're looking for some ideas. What are ways that we train people here? And find out all those kind of ways. Because I know there's ways that he has laid out. So what is that way? Here's a book here that you might want to check out. I've got a lot of books listed. Leadership Axioms, A Powerful Leadership Proverbs. And this is actually by Bill Hybels and Henry Cloud. Y'all know who Bill Hybels is? He's in Chicago, Willow Creek Church. And I'm not sure who Henry is. He's a writer. But here's what this book's about. It says, best leaders not only lead well, but they also reflect on their leadership long enough to be thoughtful enough to articulate philosophies that cause them to do so. So this is a book that's going to help you understand how leaders are doing what they do. So if you want to get in the mind of people that have been great leaders in churches and things, what are things that they do? And they articulate these ideas. So if you want to read that, that's a good book, a good read for that. Here's the fifth competency needed to become a great Bible study leader, is understand transformational teaching and how to develop transformational teaching in your life group or your Bible study. The heart of life Bible study teaching is to seek to bring about spiritual transformation in life. I talked about that earlier. Is that what you want to do is you want to see people's lives being changed. And when that happens, then you begin to have new teachers, and you begin to have people who want to do outreach and people that want to do help in the intramurals because God's touched their life and they're excited about that. So that's another thing that you're looking for to become. You understand that. Understand that that kind of teaching is going to change people's lives because God's Word is living and active and sharper than doing double-edged sword, right? So, and God's Word can do that. So transformational teaching is, here's some blanks, God's work of changing a believer into the likeness of Jesus. And each day we're trying to become more like Jesus each day. Wayne Watson. Anybody know Wayne Watson? He used to be a Christian artist a long time ago, back when contemporary Christian artists sang and started out. And he sang a song. One day Jesus will call my name. As days go by, I hope I don't stay the same. I want to get so close to him that it's no big change. On that day that Jesus calls my name, becoming more like Christ. You know, we want to, when we get to heaven one day, it's no big change. We're going to walk on with the Lord, right? And that's the idea here. So we want to focus on that. God's work, changing him to the likeness of Christ. Here's another book that's a great book. Teaching to Change Lives. 7 Proven Ways to Make Your Teaching Come Alive. And this is by Howard Hendricks. Howard Hendricks is a great teacher that used to be at Southern Baptist Seminary, and he taught many, many people. He taught my pastor, and he loves Howard Hendricks. And here's what this book's about. Sunday school teachers, from pastors to professors, can make the most of their priceless opportunity to inspire, to instruct, and to permanently impact the lives of the kingdom of Christ. So what are some ways that you can do this? This is some ideas on ways you can do that. Teaching to Change Lives, 7 Proven Ways. So read that book if you want to have some power and some ideas that help you if you're a teacher. Great book to read, Howard Hendricks. And then here's the other part. Is a strong director or a teacher needs to seek to do these things. Be aware of the effectiveness of teaching. Teaching can change lives, just like we talked about in that book. So understand that, man, Sunday mornings or whenever your group meets, it's huge. Don't go half-heartedly in there because you haven't prepared. We talked about this in the last group. How early do you begin preparing for a lesson, those of you who teach? Throw out some numbers. As soon as Sunday's over, are you starting to work on next lesson? That's how I am. But I plan the lessons out even further than that. So you've got to decide how much you're going to put into it. If you know what your talk's going to be on and what your Bible study's going to be on, you ought to begin working on that. And all throughout the week, ask God to speak to you and give you ideas and give you things that you can put in that talk, that Bible study that you're doing, right? So you can make a difference in people's lives. Be aware of the effectiveness of teaching. That's why we have teaching. It's effective, right? Here's the next part. Whether or not it's not impacting the lives of participants, one of the things you want to see is your teaching impacting the lives of people? Is it being effective? A good leader has to begin to evaluate, am I making a difference with what we're doing? And if I'm not, why? You know, why is it not impacting somebody? And another part is, it should bring transformation. We keep using that word. What is spiritual transformation to you? What does that mean? Spiritual transformation. Give me your definition.
Is a continual change in your faith and in your walk with Christ.
Okay. Spiritual transformation. Anybody else have anything you'd want to add?
Your progression towards maturity. Mm-hmm. And seeing more Christ-likeness in your character.
And you know, it can happen right when somebody becomes a believer, but also they become more and more like Christ, and it's through the sanctification of the Lord, right? Becoming more like him. So that's what we're trying to look for as we teach people, that we begin seeing things. So habits and things that maybe somebody started coming to your Bible study class, maybe they said things and maybe words would slip that they weren't supposed to say, and pretty soon they're not saying that kind of stuff anymore. They're not going and doing some of the other stuff they used to do before because the transformation's happened in their life. So that's something you're looking for, is ways that you can bring about that as you teach, as you lead people. And again, you're praying about that and asking the Lord to give you wisdom in that. So here's some next questions to ask you. What is spiritual transformation? How do you recognize the results of spiritual transformation in the lives of your members? How do you see that? What are ways you see that? How do you know what kind of teaching is taking place. How do you evaluate teaching? Is that something that y'all do? Does Don evaluate the teaching, or do y'all do that within your group? That's something that sometimes that's a hard thing to do because you think you might hurt somebody's feelings, or we're just glad they're in here teaching. I'm not going to tell them it was a terrible lesson. Sometimes we got to tell them, you know what, you need it. Your lesson wasn't so good. You know, you might want to, you know, maybe we need to think about what we can do to help you teach better. So you got to begin thinking about this. How to help teachers understand goes in the blank. Understand what it means to teach spiritual transformation. And then next one is how to impact. How do you change the teaching of Life Bible Study? How do you impact it? So we've got to be willing to change things at times. Change? We don't change things. We're Baptists. Sometimes you got to be willing to change something, right? If you want to be more effective. Here's another book that's a good book. It's called Creative Bible Teaching. And I actually teach a course with the seminary with New Orleans, and we teach this class to people that are going into the ministry. And this is a class, the course you might want to teach. If you're teaching the Bible, it can help you with being creative in your Bible teaching. And it's by Richards and Redfield. Here's the sixth competency that's needed to become a great Bible study teacher. Understand the primary resources for life Bible study. What are some resources you have? Let me ask you, and I was asking some of y'all, your Bible study, what curriculum are y'all using here?
Depends on your campus.
Okay.
So downtown we use the Gospel Project for all of our adult classes.
Okay. The Gospel Project. Does this church write any of their material, or y'all purchase the material that's written to other people?
Some departments let their teachers come up with their
own. Okay.
Depends on the department.
Yeah. So you need to know, understand what are the resources you've got. And there's all kinds of resources out there. Lifeway used to have, actually for the single folks, single leadership table, they used to have singles literature. They don't make it anymore, right? So if you want to use Lifeway singles literature, they don't have it. So not to say you have to do singles literature. They've got great Bible study, but they don't have a singles version of anything anymore. So understand what are some resources. Be familiar with every resource produced by Lifeway or by whatever. Go to their website. Look them up. There's all kinds of different things that you can use to look at. And again, you've got to make sure you're talking to whoever is in charge over your area and you're not doing things that you shouldn't do. But you need to understand what those resources are. Here's the fifth book that's pretty good. A Complete Book of Questions. Listen to this. 1,001 conversation starters for any occasion. So if you're teaching a Bible study and they never talk, and you're trying to get them just to talk a little bit, this may be a good book. So these are starters for any occasion. Most of us realize that raising questions is a powerful way to get an interest in the dialogue. So this book helps you ask questions that can get people talking. So might check that out. And that's by Gary Poole. So another book. And then here's the seventh idea here, understanding how to work with other general leaders. So if you're a leader and you're teaching, you're directing or something, you're going to want to understand who are the people that you work with and who you're answering to. Besides the Lord, who you're answering to, right? So Don is who most people with the singles area work to answer to and talk to him. So this is a part of what you need to know to be a good leader. You need to know who your boss is, really, is what this is trying to say. Have a regularly scheduled meetings and update one another. Talk together and plan together. I did hear Don say this today, is that he does try to get together with his directors, and they go out and eat. And if he hadn't bought your meal lately, say, "Hey, Don, I hear you're taking people out." but anyway, he likes to catch up and see what's going on in the groups, and that's wise to do that, along with y'all's meetings, y'all's meeting schedule. So those are some things that's important to understand. And here's the eighth thing, is competencies needed to become a great leader, is develop an effective administration process. And this is just stuff that this is not like glamorous things, but you need to know what's going on. I got some people sometimes at my church, they'll grab, I don't know if y'all, how you do your, we have like a little cart with wheels on it that has all the roll sheets on it, and they're out in the hallway, and you get them, and you're supposed to fill out everything, and visitors, you fill out everything, and you put it in the thing, and you'll put it in a little rolling cart. You know, I got some classes that don't know that thing doesn't automatically go back out to the rolling cart. They didn't lay it in their classroom, and the teacher secretary comes by, "Jay, did the journey class meet?" "Yeah, they did." "Did they take roll?" I said, "Yeah, I bet I know where it is, too," because they're still sitting in their room. Well, this is just stuff like that. Develop an effective administrative process. I'm talking to myself here. I must not have done very well. Records, enrollment, How do you drop somebody? We don't drop anybody off our road, man. Jesus has to take them home before we do that. curriculum selection, that's ideas. That may be something over your head. How do you order stuff? How do you distribute stuff? How do you do worker enlistment when you're enlisting workers? So how do you go about that? Can you do that as a director? Or is that something that you have to go through? Don, I don't know. So those are all things that you need to know as a leader, okay? Again, this is kind of practical stuff. Number 9, understand how to work with and encourage leaders. This is pretty big here. Man, giving a compliment doesn't cost anything. And yet sometimes we're so stingy with our compliments. Man, you did an awesome job. Why are we? You know, it's kind of like saying I'm sorry. When I do weddings for our singles, I say, well, look, at the wedding, go ahead and say I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And they say it. Get used to it. You need to say that a lot. You'll stay married a long time if you'll say I'm sorry. Well, we need to be willing to give compliments out, right? So here's the idea here. Understand the work to encourage your leader. Almost everything in life Bible study directors and leaders does is based on relationships. You heard that tonight, didn't y'all? In the message. Love relationships. So to be successful, you got to develop a relationship with your team, with people in your group. That's huge. Weak relationships always hamper communication. Communication goes in the blank. It hampers communication and trust. So make sure that you work on your relationships. You know, man, aren't you glad that Jesus loves us no matter what? How many times can we fail? 70 times 7? Fail more than that. And God still loves us. So we've got to love each other, and we've got to work on our relationships. So that's a huge thing. Encourage your leaders. Encourage people in your group. Here's the next thing. Strong relationships. Strong goes in the blank. Strong relationships build communication and trust. So work on having a strong relationship where you guys love each other and you're talking and you're communicating. A leader is encouraged, encourages works, has greater joy. Has greater joy and courage. So we want to make sure that people have joy. Because the Bible says, what's our strength? Joy of the Lord. That's what strengthens us. So have joy. Man, I thought that was hilarious, the college guys' exercises. He had some joy, didn't he? You know, I couldn't understand everything he was saying. And I thought, what did he say?
Anyway.
It's hilarious. But we gotta have joy. Joy needs to be a part of what we do to encourage people. And next thing is hone your skills on encouraging leaders. So work on that. Whatever you need to do to hone in on those skills. And look for positive things that people are doing. To encourage your leaders. And do it frequently. Do it as much as you can. My quote, compliments don't cost anything. And they make a huge difference. So we want to make sure that we're doing that. And what are some ways y'all do this? What are ways you encourage people that you work with on your team, on your life Bible study team? You got a minute or two to talk about that. Do you?
I mean, just say thank you whenever they do anything.
That's huge. Okay.
I try to send an email the next day with a specific compliment.
That was good.
Hey, I like how you interacted with this guest, or I liked how you made this point. Because if you're not specific with your compliments, after a while it can just become noise. And you wonder the genuineness of that leader's compliment, or they're just blowing smoke at you. So I think you have to be specific, too. And therefore, don't have all the time either. Great lesson, but everyone knows it wasn't.
Oh, yeah. Be honest. Yeah.
The teacher knows probably the most that it wasn't, hopefully.
Yeah.
They're self-aware.
That's good. Anybody else? What's other ways that you do that?
Sometimes at our monthly leadership meetings, we'll get compliments, like public compliments, to tell someone, you did a great job, let other people know that, too.
Yeah.
So we recognize that and help others else recognize that also. So
yeah.
The monthly leadership meetings.
That's good. So you're, doing it in front of people so other people see that. Anybody else?
Gift-giving.
Gift
small tokens of appreciation.
Gift card somewhere or just something like that. It's nice, you know. Yeah, coffee gift card or something like that. Whatever things that you know they like to do. They like the places they like to eat. Those are all good. So, but we need to do as much of that as we can. And number 10, the 10th competency needed to become a great Bible study leader is understand the principles for growing your group. What are the principles? How are we going to grow this group? And some of this is really stuff that in seminary that they talked about a long time ago, and I'm going to go over it, and you might have ever heard of it. It's called Flake's Formula. Anybody ever heard of Flake's Formula? Okay. It's not Tony the Tiger Frosted Flakes Formula. But anyway, there's five steps formula that can help us grow in Sunday school. I'll just go over this. So you could pull this up. You could type it in and pull it up too. But the first thing it says here is we need to know what the possibilities are. The principles for growing your life. Know what the possibilities are. Let's look at this. Who does God want us to reach? So as you begin, as you're doing your life, your life group, your Bible study time, who are you trying to reach? One of the things that we talk about is this is kind of the target audience. Right now, I would say probably most of you who are here, your core, you come to things and you're dedicated and you're committed, you'll probably fall right up in this area right here. But what's our target audience? Who's your target audience for your Bible studies? These guys are going to come, right? But who are you trying to reach? You've got to decide what you're trying to do. Are you trying to reach the congregation? We're doing the thing Sunday at our church. We do a luncheon for singles, and we pick restaurants to go to. We do that on occasion, maybe once a month. And I'll say, hey, I'm going here. Y'all come, whatever. We'll go hit a restaurant and invade it. But also, we're doing just a deal where we're inviting everybody who's single just to come to a free lunch. And what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to target the congregation who just comes to church and never comes to anything in singles. And I hopefully it goes well. I didn't know how much to order. I'm just guessing. So, you know, we have a lot of fried chicken. Somebody's going to have some leftovers, you know, if we don't. But so we're trying to reach the congregation. But what are you trying to reach? You trying to reach in your Bible study the congregation, or are you trying to reach the crowd, guys who are just kind of checking it out? You know, probably that's a good target audience. Are you trying to reach the community, people that have never come to your church before? We've got a dance we're doing at our church in February. And Don said, really, you're doing a dance? I know y'all do dances too. I said, yeah, we're doing it at church. He said, are you serious? I said, man, so we'll see how that goes. But anyway, but we're trying to reach community people that would never come to your church. Maybe they'll come dance. There's a time for everything. Time to cry, time to dance. We're going to dance, okay? On the 17th, if you want to come to Monroe, check out the dance. It'll be over in the East Worship Center, okay? But you've got to decide your target audience. What are you trying to do? What are you trying to do? And that's in huge, okay? You figure out that. Does your life Bible study plan to reach people there? Where's your life Bible study currently growing? Part of being a good leader is you know what's going on with your group. Right now, the biggest group that's growing in our church is our 20-somethings. And we don't call them singles because they get really mad. So we 20-somethings. They're 20-somethings, so hey, you know, 20-somethings. And they've been doing really well. They weren't coming on Sundays very much at our church. So we started meeting on Thursday nights. And we've been feeding them and sitting down and going through the book of Luke. We started the first of summer. We're on chapter 4. So we're going really slow, but it's awesome. And we've grown like, I don't know, probably five times what we were growing before. Just having them in people's houses and stuff. So what's growing? How's your group doing? Think about those things. You didn't know about those kind of things. Are we prepared organizationally to continue reaching people in a certain area? You have to begin to decide what you're doing. Are we doing resources right? We're allocating to try to reach this group. We're not reaching this group. What do you need to do? Where is the potential to reach people that we're not currently reaching? So if you're trying to start a new group, maybe that's something you want to do. Maybe you want to target a group. That's why there's so many different churches out there today. You know, the Cowboy Church, and what are all the different churches y'all know? Different churches of people that like doing different things, you know? They show up. Cowboy guys all show up in their cowboy boots, and if they can ride in a horse in some places, they ride their horses to church. But, I mean, it's just reaching different groups. So part of being a good leader is understanding those kind of things. What's the potential? So is your life Bible study effectively assimilating people into your church? Is that something that should be a concern to somebody who's a good leader? It should be. At our church, we were reaching a lot of people for Christ, and we were having a lot of growth. Our church is not as large as your church, but we were having some really good stuff. A lot of people were going out the back door. So we had to figure out. So we hired a guy to be our assimilation pastor to try to get people to stay and understand. But what happened is I think people weren't using their gifts. They didn't know what their gifts were, so we're trying to train them. So you've got to figure out all those kind of things. Those are important. Here's the 11th, another book that I gave you, is Lasting Impact, 7 Powerful Conversations That Will Help You in Church Growth. And this is by Andy Stanley. So you might want to check out Andy Stanley's book, What Are Some Conversations That Will Help Your Church Grow, if you're wanting to see growth within your group. Because your church group, when you're meeting, it's just a small group. You know, you're part of the church. Underneath Flake's formula, the second part was you try to enlarge the organization. So if you want to see growth, you've got to enlarge something. How are you growing? Are you starting some new groups, enlarging? The other part of Flake's formula, the third part, was enlist and equip people. You've got to list new people, and you've got to equip them so they'll know what they're doing. That's how you see growth. And then the other part of Flake's formula was providing space and equipment. You want to give, if you want to grow, you got to have a room for them to meet in. If they need a TV, they need to have a TV. If they need a TV, if you need whatever equipment you need, right? Tables and chairs, and those are all part of. That's kind of practical stuff, but that was all a part of Flake's formula. An effective director leader needs to understand these things: proper space and equipment. Space and equipment goes in the blank. How do you evaluate to allocate your space? We had a group at our church. You can have a big room as long as you fill the big room. I don't know if y'all church is that way. But, you know, so if you think you're going to paint the walls and you're going to hang up a bunch of decorations, you better get ready to move it if your group is not growing, right? So we space and allocation. So if your group justifies that room, so that's what we do. So adjust your space if needed. Sometimes you got to shift your classes around for growth. That's the idea here. And the other part of Flake's formula is you got to go after people. If you want to grow, you got to go after people. People don't always just come to you, right? It's hard to be a guest and come into a church. It's really, really hard. So a lot of times they don't come. And when they do come, you better be ready for them when they come. You're right? And make them feel welcome. So there's lots of things that you need to think about. And this is not just tying to your church, but it's talking about your Sunday school group, your life Bible study group. So life Bible study classes need to focus on the outward. What do we do sometimes? We just kind of are so happy everybody's there, we just forget about folks. And people come into our group, and we're all playing ring around the rosies, and nobody wants to let go of their hand and let anybody else join in the group. So we want to make sure that we're doing that. So life Bible study classes need to be focused outward instead of inward on how the heart of unchurched people, how do unchurched people feel? What's going on with unchurched? Do you know that? Rick Warren, in his book, Purpose Driven Life, you've probably read that. He talks about sometimes you got to think like a fish if you want to catch a fish. So what are you doing in your life Bible study to try to reach people? Right? You got to think like them to do those kind of things. Purpose-driven church, growth without compromising your message. So that's a book I'd recommend to you. We've read back through that as a staff recently. And that's where we started doing these things. This is why we're doing the big dance. Preacher said, why do you want to do a dance anyway? We're trying to reach the community. Okay. Can we do it in the East Worship Center? Yeah. We're not going to advertise it from the pulpit very much, but yeah, you can advertise it all you want to otherwise. But yeah. Because people get mad about dancing. They might dance, but they wouldn't want you to know. So anyway, community. And then crowd. Well, let's see. You know, that reaches a crowd too, so that's kind of the same thing. And then I said we're doing the big meal this Sunday. I'm trying to reach people that come to the congregation, but they've never come and done anything else. So I started looking at that. That'll help you as you're thinking and you're planning things within your group. So who you're trying to reach, try to start targeting the groups. Don't just plan stuff to put them on the calendar, but they need to make sense. Purpose-driven church will help you with that. They'll help you figure out some of that kind of stuff. Here's another book, Lasting Impact, 7 Powerful Conversations That'll Help a Growing Church. I think I gave that early, maybe. Or did I give that to you early? Maybe it's another thing. Carrie New, I can't say that last name, can y'all? Is a person that you want to check out there. An effective director and leader needs to know the work to mobilize their life Bible study groups in reaching people and understand how to develop effective outreach. So if you're going to reach somebody, what's your outreach? How are you going to try to reach them? That's something that you need to work on. And there's another book that can help with this. And it's a book, it's called Reaching People Under 40 While Keeping People Over 60 while still keeping folks. Sometimes churches, you know, churches that just become a young church and they don't care about the old folks. This is a book that says, man, you keep everybody. I think Jesus would want everybody to come, myself, right? And be a church for all generations. This is by Edward Hammett. And then here's another book about outreach. And you want to know, well, what are my ideas, Jay? Well, here's another one. Organic Outreach for Churches, Infusing Evangelistic Passion into Your Congregation. Man, we need to have that happen. Kevin Hartney talks about that in his book. And then here's the 11th competency needed to become a great Bible study leader. Respond to the call to be a growing Christian, dependent upon the Holy Spirit and living an exemplary life. Guys, that's huge. That's the last one, but that should be the first one. Man, this is where true strength and power of a leader comes from. It has to be the work of the Holy Spirit. Is the Holy Spirit got a hold of you, you teachers? Is the Holy Spirit burn something in your heart to share a message when you get in to teach? Or are you just going through the lesson? This is an important trait, they say here. He or she works under the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, our work is powerless. It's the Holy Spirit that gives us our unction, is what an old word that's used, to say and do what Christ wants us to do. There's some books that go along with this. If you haven't ever read Experiencing God, it's been around a long time, but a wonderful book. Blackaby is the writer of that book. And his book says this: find out where God is working. Here's the premise of his book. Find out where God is working and what? Join him there. You want to experience God? Where's God working, man? Wherever God is, you show up. And you'll feel the Spirit of God. And then another book, Forgotten God, Reversing the Tragic Neglect of the Holy Spirit. It's by Francis Chan. You all probably know him. And it has been said that you cannot take someone where you haven't been. So as a leader, as a teacher, guys, we've got to be in God's Word. We've got to spend time on our knees. We've got to spend time with the Lord if we want people to do that, right? If you want people to see Jesus, can they see Jesus in us? And that's the challenge, right? An effective director and leader needs to live a life that demonstrates these things: the work of God in their life, traits they want the leaders to emulate. Leaders must be persons of character. If we are to ask others to follow me, we must have a character and we must have spiritual integrity. That's what our preacher says all the time. You got to be people of character and have integrity. And the last book I have down is called The Christ Walk. It's a 40-day spiritual fitness program that can help people get where they need to be with the Lord. There's a little time left. Does anybody have anything they want to ask or talk about real quick? A lot of stuff here. I hope this was helpful to you.
I got one quick one.
Sure.
On number four.
Yeah.
The needs is highlighted. Nothing else besides the book and your quotes are highlighted. Is there like a reason for that?
Number four. That probably is a typo by me.
Okay.
So what number four was? Let me look on your thing. I'll
just
look.
Yeah, it says the needs your LBS group. It's just highlighted, so I wonder if it was
needs. Okay, understanding to how to enlist and equip leaders for the needs of your group, what it's talking about there. And the proper steps in discovering and enlisting. You have that part? Discovering,
yeah.
And enlisting?
Yeah.
And then determining the process. And then training conference. You got the training conference. That catch you up?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Anybody else have anything? Well, let me pray for y'all, and y'all can. Oh, want to give away a card? Let's give away a card. Let's see how we want to do this one. It's hard to figure out how to give these cards out. Okay. Who has my son's birthday? Is April the 16th? Whose birthday is closest to April
16th?
May 9th.
Mine's
April 16th.
Oh.
Wow. Yours? Yours too.
Dang it, Monica.
Hey, you're a winner. And I'm not sure what you get, but just show it to somebody and they'll give you something cool. Hey, let me pray for y'all and we'll go. Thank y'all, guys. I know it's hard to stay. Give me your attention and you did great. And I just want to pray for y'all. Lord, thank you for each person that's here. I thank you, Lord, that they are leaders within your church, God. I thank you that tonight I've got a chance to meet some new brothers and sisters in Christ. And I just pray you would bless them and that they would honor you with where you put them. What a privilege it is, Lord, to serve you and to follow you. And God, I pray that we would be leaders worthy of that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.